I'm Susan Axon-Campbell, Chair of Friends of Troopers Hill.
Susan, you're first. Are you okay with that, out of the Friends of Troopers Hill?
I'm very comfortable with that, yeah.
And you all are actually friends. It's not just friends in name, can't stand each other in nature. You all actually like each other, don't you?
We all get on very well. We all share coffees and teas together and something a little bit stronger on occasion.
Well, I've enjoyed my jasmine tea. I tell you, it's taking me off somewhere very exotic. But then again, Troopers Hill is exotic, or at least absolutely fabulous. And you've got to start with a view. We've just discussed it. We're in your back garden, which is fabulous, but I'm not sort of shirking out. I know we could be on the top, but as you can hear, the wind is pretty bad, and up there, my microphone would be susceptible to some damage, wouldn't it, Susan?
It certainly would. About the only time of year there isn't a wind on Troopers Hill is when we organise a kite flying festival. And we tried that 2 years on the trot, and it's fantastic that there's lots of kids around with a heck of a lot of energy, because they were able to make their kites fly, but if they hadn't run, they wouldn't have flown.
So there we are, the infamous tower at the top. You better just take us through the history of that, first of all.
Right. Well, that is a listed chimney. It was part of the copper smelting industry. A local author, Joan Day, who's very knowledgeable about the copper industry, thinks it was built around the 1790s. And there is pictorial evidence of it being there in the 1820s in the Breckenridge collection of sketches. A view was taken of Arnisfail Court. And you can see the Troopers Hill chimney sitting there on top of the hill. So this was a horrible, stinky, smelly, smoky place in the late 1700s and early 1800s, with up to 40 copper smelting furnaces all along Crewe's Hole. And then one of the furnaces had a duct going up the side of the hill to this massive chimney. And that produced a fantastic draw of air. So you've got the really high temperatures, so you could melt this copper ore to produce the copper that was then used in the brass works at Warmley. And that, of course, was all part of the slave trade, with brass being used in exchange for slaves, and all part of the history of Bristol.
That's what I love. People don't consider all that history, maybe, when they're walking their dog up there or holding hands and having a little lover's walk, but that's all right. You know, some people are knowledgeable about this big lump in front of us, and some aren't, and that's your job, I suppose, to make us all interested.
Absolutely. That's what Friends of Troopers Hill is all about. What we try and do is do things to maintain and help the hill, particularly tasks that you couldn't pay people to do, and try and involve people in the care of Troopers Hill. So we have events as well. So every month we have a work party, just for 2 hours on the first Saturday of every month. We meet on the corner of Greendown and Troopers Hill Road. And we do things like cutting bramble, repairing steps, and we work with the council. So we actually have a park keeper who works on Troopers Hill, who is absolutely great. And he tells us work that he's planning to do, so we can do something to help. So where he's doing a bit of bracken bashing, so bracken is a bad thing on Troopers Hill.
Lovely term, isn't it? Bracken bashing.
Yes. We'll go up and finish off pulling up the bits of bracken that are coming up between the heather, because he can't go in and cut back heather, because that's one of the important plants on the hill. One of the spectacular things about Troopers Hill is you get the gorgeous glow of the colour purple in August and July, when the heather comes into bloom, and then other times of year you've got a wonderful colour of yellow, so that's more May time, when the broom is in flower. And if you come out in August, you can hear little tiny pops going off all over the hill as the broom seed pods are popping and spraying their seeds everywhere.
Oh, wow.
So that's two of the important plants on Troopers Hill. It's a little island, a really special kind of ecology. It's acid heathland, which you don't get anywhere else in Bristol, and particularly not in this size. And it leads to a very special habitat. So we've got unusual insects that are obviously food for birds, but they produce an interesting ecosystem. And we have a very very rare bees here. We've got a very boring little black fly with only a wingspan of 1.8
millimetres. You say boring. I don't think there is a boring creature, to be honest.
Well, this
undervalued, one's understated.
Absolutely. Well, this particular little fly hasn't been found anywhere else in the UK. It's well known in Europe, but hasn't been found anywhere else in the UK. So,
do you know its name?
Oh, not off the top of my head. No.
Call it the Troopers Hill fly, and if it's been found in Europe elsewhere.
No, we can't. On the bee side, the name of the bee that was found, second name was Gutulata. I remembered that. And there's a nice big black furry spider that lives amongst the plaster around the hill, that render of the chimney, you'll sometimes find a big black hairy spider in there. His second name is Florentina.
Arachnophobes beware. I love your spider impression there, Susan, by the way. You sort of close your eyes and jump forward and your two furry legs. And just looking at the views down, I was asking you where we're going there. We're going towards St. Anne's, the Bald Mills and Cruise Hole Road, and you've got the Barton Hill Tower blocks. It just shows what a lovely green mass it is in the middle of town, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. And those colours are reflected in all the plants that you find here. And it's interesting, even going down to microscopic level. We're going to have a walk on Sunday the 6th of December.
Everyone welcome.
Everybody welcome. Please do phone and book your place, though, so we don't end up with too many people. My number is 0117 947 5037. And it's a walk about mosses and lichens, led by the expert Justin Smith, who's led previous walks on the hill about fungi. And the mosses and lichens are just amazing. All the different colours, the way they bloom, and how they reproduce and what eats them and their uses will be absolutely fascinating to hear Justin talk about them.
And I know one of our other guests to come is saying, for all your householders around here, it's a challenge to know what to do in your gardens often, because it's all the rock underneath. You go down a centimetre or two and that's it, you're not going down any further.
That's absolutely true. Troopers Hill is basically a huge mound of Pennant sandstone. It was quarried for Pennant sandstone in
it was highly desirable, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Local churches are built of Pennant sandstone, and some old houses use Pennant sandstone, and the chimney itself is made from Pennant sandstone. And underneath the hill, there are remains of mines. There was coal mining going on underneath the hill, and fire clay mining. That all finished around the 1830s, I believe. And has all been capped off, I'm pleased to say.
That's my next question. There's a runner doing a few hundred laps.
Yep. And there's a square chimney at the bottom of the hill, which it was used as the pump house for the coal mine. So we've still got the remnants of the coal mining history on Troopers Hill as well.
And we've got to say then, you've got to say, the council has done very well here. Because we all like to bash the council, and often they deserve it, but they've really sort of supported you and done what they said they were going to.
They certainly have. We only started thanks to the council. There was a local nature reserves officer called Sally Oldfield, who worked for the Parks Department. And she started off by sending a questionnaire to local people saying, what do you like about Troopers Hill? What do you dislike about Troopers Hill? And it was very sneaky, actually. And so those of us who returned the questionnaire then had an invitation to come and talk about the future of Troopers Hill. And that's good, because that makes you worry, doesn't it? And the end of that was we decided what Troopers Hill needed was a group of local residents who are interested in Troopers Hill and wanted to help look after it, help get other people interested in it, attract money to it where money was actually needed. And it went on from there. It started off really, we organised a litter picking session and then went off on to hiring people to lead walks with knowledge about aspects of the hill, from birds to plant life. We started on the regular work parties, paid for surveys of the hill, and we've been really fortunate, and the council has worked really well with us. The hill was awarded a green flag, and we've now had that for 3 years.
Aren't you waving it today then, Susan? Why is it stuck on top of the chimney?
Well, actually, part of that was consultation with local people. Local people
didn't want
it on the chimney, and I think having a flag on a listed structure might have been a bit of a problem. And we actually, the council actually had to put in a planning application to put up the flag. But it was put up at Greendown, and it waves very well, displaying, it shows very well, waving in the wind up at the Greendown entrance.
Yeah, I bet it's flapping away today. I bet it's flapping away.
Is.
So matched only by the Durham Downs and Abbotsley, the pool Abbotsley, is that right?
Abbotsley's outside Bristol, so Abbotsley...
So it's just the Downs to rival
Troopers
Hill.
So it's only Clifton Downs that has got had a green flag for 3 years like us. But other sites have won them during the last 3 years. So Queen Square has had a green flag for 2 years now. And I'm trying to think of any other sites. Blaise Castle, of course, got it 2 years ago as well. So that was really good.
You hold those and dive in there. Three of these, we'll find out.
One, two, three.
A bit more about you on the Troopers Hill bingo balls.
Yep.
What have you got?
I have got, oops, I had exploding glasses last week, so I'm on an old prescription. 18.
What happened to your glasses?
There I was, sitting in the restaurant, and there was a ping, and my glasses are the type that you have a half frame over the top, and stuff like nylon fishing wire, fishing line underneath, and the fishing line bit just went ping, and the lens fell out. So
it must have been a bit shocking.
It was.
Does that happen regularly? I don't wear them.
Never ever happened before. It was a major shock. I was very surprised. Oh dear. The other one's 33.
Right, 18 first.
18 first.
Your first job and pay packet. What do you remember?
My first.
Have you always
job...
lived around here?
No. At the time I took my first job, the holiday jobs count.
Of course they do. Yeah.
Yep. Well, my first job was at the end of my. Sixth form, I think. Yes, sixth form. And I was living in a little village called Bowbrickhill on the outskirts of Milton Keynes. And through a friend who had an auntie, I got a job at an outfit called Stirling Foundries in their clerical department in Bedford. So I would get on the little Bedford flyer, a little train every day, to earn £20 a week. And £1.10 was taken off in national insurance. And I think my fares probably came to a couple of quid every week as well. And in the clerical department, obviously, first job, put my head down, worked really hard, and was told by other staff that I was working too hard and getting through the work too quickly and showing them up. So I was banned to the IT department area for one day a week just to sit there and split up the old-fashioned paper that was perforated for sending out invoices to customers.
33. A book you've read more than once, Susan.
Oh, I've read so many books more than once. Oh, let's see. Gosh, choices. Well, a recent one I read, which has got a connection with Bristol in a way, was Checkerboard by Neville Shute. Set in the Second World War, and it's about a gentleman who finds he's got cancer and is dying, and he decides he wants to find out what happened to three other people who were in a hospital ward with him when he was involved in an air crash. This is actually taking place after the Second World War, and he tracks them all down because at the time he'd just been court-martialed for a crime to do with fiddling petrol and other things. And it was really good how he tracked down the various people who'd been in trouble at the time and the success they'd made of their lives. And the story takes you to Burma, but the particular link with Bristol that was interesting, that there was a black American soldier in the same hospital ward at him who was recovering from a knife wound to his throat. And in the story, this soldier had been wrongly accused of attempted rape and had been chased and imagined he was going to be lynched. And so had hidden in an air raid shelter and attempted to cut his throat. The link to Bristol on that was not long ago. There was an article in the Evening Post about troubles between black American soldiers and white American soldiers in Bristol. And the book is a true reflection at the time. There were apparently a number of incidents where you had American soldiers coming over. The black soldiers were accepted by the UK population as being people here coming over here doing their bit. White soldiers would come over from the States, often from the southern states, and not at all appreciated the fact that black soldiers were here going out with English girls and caused all sorts of problems. Yeah. And apparently in Park Street, there were incidents of white soldiers actually trying to shoot black soldiers in the back out. It sounded absolutely horrific.
Great answer, Susan. Checkerboard.
Checkerboard. Neville Shute.
Yeah. Neville Shute. Thank you. And finally, 44.
44.
Immigration.
I think immigration is absolutely great for us. We get a lot of highly qualified people who come over here. Some people come over for training and actually stay and use the training here. And I see a lot of good coming out of immigration. The problem is there's another perception by other people that jobs are lost to immigrants. But think of all the people who are here doing well, paying their taxes, and helping to support those of us in society who aren't able to work. So from my point of view, I think immigration is great. And also, I think it is something that is a rich country, and anybody who says we're not rich, hasn't lived anywhere with poverty problems, as a rich country, I think we should be in a situation where people are in trouble, are in a country where their life is at risk, that they can escape to here and be helped. If England was invaded, wouldn't we like it that we could escape across the channel and be helped to set up a home, get some education in the local language, and be able then to become contributing members of society? Until I feel quite strongly about that.
A pleasure, Susan. Thank you ever so much. Who should we pick on next?
Oh, how about Pete?
Pete it is.